Well, good morning. Very good. Everyone's awake. Otherwise, I might have to use this. But this is actually a chin loan. And so during the story I share this morning, it'll make more sense. On February 26th, 2021, our family encountered something we will never forget. It was 25 days after the military coup in Myanmar, and so we were already emotional and working through things, processing all that was happening. And we were expecting a little one. And as we went to the hospital to check things out, because we were not sure what was happening, we got there, we did the ultrasound, and we found out our baby's heartbeat was not there. And as we went home, we were on the way home and we were very emotional. We came home and we drove up the driveway, and Gogoji, one of our facilitators, was at the gate. He opened the gate, let us in, and I began backing in to the driveway. And I saw my two daughters, Kailua and Caitlin, standing over beside the house. So I knew, okay, they're safe. But I didn't see Israel. I didn't see Israel. And my first thought was, well, he must be inside the house. And I saw Mappy, our house helper, sitting at the entrance, kind of blocking the doorway. So I thought, well, she'll catch him if he comes running out. Well, as I was driving back, all of a sudden, Israel comes running out of the entrance past Mappy. And he's a fast guy, so he comes flying out, and I don't see him. He comes up behind the van, falls under the tire, and I feel a bump. And it was just a shock that went through me. And I put that gear into forward, and just as I was moving forward, Mappy comes flying out of the entrance, dives and pushes his head out of the way and sacrifices her arms. And I drive over her arms. And it was very overwhelming thinking about almost killing my son. And so we run out of the van, we get out of the van, and we check. Mappy is just writhing on the ground. She's crying and moaning, and Israel, of course, is whimpering. So my wife grabs Israel and the chin loan guys outside our gate come rushing over and help pick up Mappy and put her in the van. And if it wasn't for them and for Mappy, things would have changed drastically. But we hauled off to the clinic, and here's a picture of it. We hauled off to the clinic to see what happened and what's going on in their arms and their legs. And all kinds of things were racing through my mind. You know, is my son going to survive? Is Mappy going to survive? So we get there, we rush into the clinic, hoping there's not a long line. And sure enough, it was full of people. And this happened right after the coup, so all the hospitals, most of the government hospitals, are closed. There's no one at these government hospitals. Now, we knew this small clinic very possibly was open. And so it was a private clinic, so private clinics were still open. All the other government hospital people had ran to the forest or hidden because they don't want to support the military. And so we come there, there's full of people waiting to be seen. We took Moppy and Israel into the back, and almost instantly they whisked them into the room, which is amazing that they let them go first. And here's just another picture of the clinic that we were at. And we were waiting for the x-ray to come back. And I was thinking, man, I wonder how many bones are broken. I just wonder how long this is going to heal. No broken bones. I mean, praise the Lord. You know, I hear stories of people backing over their children and many things happening to them. And we just heard, was it Wednesday evening? Someone backed over one of their children. And what a miracle. God not only spared our son and Moppy's life, but he gave us the gift of no broken bones. Wow. You know, my wife and I, we were just full of gratitude of the love and grace that God had shared and given to us. He was watching over us and caring for us. You know, it could have happened a different way. Would he have been caring and watching over us? Yes. But this was a gift. This was a special gift to us. And we felt the support of God. We felt the support of our staff and the community. We felt the support. There are times in our lives when we don't feel the support. And I don't know what your situation is. At times I might understand and hear what your situation is. But you personally know what you're wrestling with. And often in our crisis, we ask these three questions. Where is God? Where are his people? And where is the support? These are questions that race through our minds. Jesus also encountered this, as we remember, in his hour of need. Who fled? Do you remember? It was his disciples. They fled. They got out. He lost his support on earth. And then on the cross, he says, in his pain and agony, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Do you think Jesus felt like there was not support in that time of hour? I believe so. His earthly body was feeling the agony and the pain. So good morning. I want to welcome everyone to this part of the service as we look at supporting our leaders well. And the scripture I've chosen to read this morning is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. And as you're turning there, and we'll stand to read it, I'll just share a little bit about this picture. So this picture is Daniel, one of our facilitators, sharing the word of God in the Moreau village. So it's was about 45 minutes from where we were living. And so right now, Daniel is not in Chin State. He is in Yangon, had a baby there, had a son, and him and his wife are still there. They're hoping to go back and visit the groups. But right now, he's trying to be as faithful as he can where he's at. And so he's sharing the word of God. And James is hiding behind the rose bushes, or the roses. And so you have two of our facilitators there. So let's stand as we read the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. All right, you may be seated. So, this is at the end of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and as he is writing to them, he talks about the day of the Lord and being comforted with these thoughts that we will live together with him. So he's talking about those days. And then he starts giving a lot of good advice. When you end the letter, you want to really get all those special words in there before you finish the letter so that everyone understands what your heart is. And what words does he use? He uses, "and we beseech you." So whenever you're in the scriptures and you see that, "and we beseech you," there, Paul or whoever is making a special request. Take notice. Take attention. What he's going to share is important. And he uses their name, brethren. So if I use my daughter's name, Kailua, everyone's, you know, her head comes up. Yes, it's attention. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." And so here, as we dive into the scripture, this is the first phrase we come to. "And are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." What are the three verbs we see? It's know, esteem, and be. Okay? So he's emphasizing what is important with the leaders that he has placed in their care. The Thessalonians were given leaders. And he's telling the brothers, "Know them which labor among you." So this morning, I want to give you three ways we can support our leaders well. Three ways. And the first one, with knowing, when we want to get to know someone, the thing that we will do is we will listen. So as we get to know a friend, as we get to know our neighbors, we begin asking questions. Listen with your heart. Invite your pastor over. Invite them to your home. And I know many of you are doing this. It is just good to remind us of how we can support our leaders. And you're doing this for others. You're inviting them into your homes. You're inviting your neighbors into your homes. And this message is also for myself. And I feel like many things that I will be sharing this morning are stepping on my own toes. So I'm here with you. But invite them over. Don't distance yourself from your leaders. Often, the distance that is created is because people don't take the initiative to get to know their pastors, don't get to know their leaders. Or maybe they do, but there's a breakdown in communication. Or there's a breakdown in whatever. So I encourage you, if you feel that distance, if you feel like you don't know what our pastor's heart is, invite them over. Get them in your home. Acts 14:15 says, and he's talking about a time when they were teaching and preaching, and they were going to worship them. The people were going to worship the leaders, Paul and Peter, I believe. And Acts 14:15, I believe it was Paul, says, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you." We are just men. Okay? We are just like you. "And preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven, earth, and sea, and all things that are therein." The pastors and leaders we have with us are men and women just like us. And we can get to know them. We can get to know their heart, their passions, their struggles, their needs. What are they dealing with? What is their heart? Listen with your hand. Take notes. You know, you can always tell if your audience, if there's somebody that's really paying attention. And I can see a lot of you are looking up here, so you're paying attention. That's great. Not that my words are anything that great, but when a pastor is preaching and teaching the Word of God, take notes. What are the important points that he's bringing across? You know, they probably spent, I would say, 6 to 8 days maybe worth of study just for 1 half hour. Ask Keith. He will tell you how much time he spends preparing a sermon. And others, Leighton and Jake and all the brothers that are preaching the Word of God. It takes time. It takes laboring in the Word. And did you know that if you take notes, it connects both sides of your brain? So if you're just hearing something, it goes to your short-term memory. But as you write, it connects both halves. Because the motion of your hand and everything, and they've done some study that even just typing isn't as good as writing. So we're getting into all kinds of technology these days. But writing is still very important. Writing is very important. So teach your children to write, teach your children to take notes, and that's myself included. I need to continue teaching my children that. Listen with your feet. Take heed. Take those two words and do a search in the Scriptures. Look at all the places that it says, take heed. Paul and Jesus and many people that are leaders sharing their heart. So as we listen to them share what God is sharing with them, let's take heed and caution with the things that are important. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So swift to listen. Let's be listeners as we bless those in leadership. Encourage well. So this is our second point. And we're looking at the phrase, "Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." When you esteem someone or something, you are not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about them. You're thinking about what their needs are and about the work they've done for their work's sake. And it also says in love, within love. And later I will hone in on that in love, just to bring out the importance of that. And the word "very highly" is also the Greek word that is used in John 10:10, where it says that you might have life more abundantly. So overabundant. So esteem them overabundant in love for their work's sake. It's the same Greek word. If we have life, if we have love for our leaders, it will pour out of our life into their lives, and we will esteem them. And in Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And that, the Greek behind that says higher. Let each esteem other higher than themselves. So think highly of your leaders. Think highly of those laboring in the Word. So let's encourage with our voice. Take care. of our leaders. In Deuteronomy 1:38, it says, "But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." So this is God talking to Moses and saying, encourage Joshua. And that same word is later used saying, be strong and of good courage in Joshua 1:9. So strengthen him so that as he goes in, he will be able to conquer the land. And our pastors are going in to conquer the land, okay? There are souls needing saved. There are souls needing healing. There are souls that are hurting. We need to encourage them that they can be victorious and be a blessing as they go forth. Send them a text or voice message. Write a note. For you young people, it's text voice messages. You can bless your pastor that way. You can bless those others that are needing encouragement. Writing a note. And here's an idea. Support their ideas. Support their vision. Support what they feel the Lord is asking the congregation to do. After discussion has taken place and a lot of the truth has been taught and it feels like a good way forward, let's get behind them and support them. Because as we get behind our leaders, the church of God will move forward in great, victorious ways. Encourage with your prayer. So like was shared already this morning, praying with our pastors and our leaders. And I encourage you, if you come Wednesday nights, you actually get to pray with them. Because I often see the leaders here. And so come pray with them. You get a special opportunity that you don't otherwise. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. And this is interesting what this free course, if you study behind that, it actually means to, it says treko, to run, to walk hastily. Okay? So the Bible is running. Interesting. Never heard about that, but he's saying pray that the word of the Lord may run, take a trek, and be glorified even as it is with you. So they want the word of God to run through people's hearts and just challenge them and turn people to the Lord, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That's the reality. When we're out in the world, not all men are going to be believers. They're going to be mockers. There's going to be people that attack and ridicule our pastors. So let's encourage them with prayer. Let's take the requests that they have. And when you're praying with them, ask them specifically, hey, what in personally in your life are you struggling with? Our pastors do struggle. We might not think about that, but there's things in their lives that they also need prayer for. So that's the second point, encourage well. The third point is give well. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, we don't think about how this can be a blessing, but it is a major blessing to our leaders as we live in peace with each other. Give with your love. Take peace. Be a peacemaker, Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And then in Matthew 5:23 and 24, it's talking about leaving your gift at the altar. So as you're worshiping and you have a problem with a brother, And there's times I'd have had problems with a brother. I'll just be honest. Get right with them. Go reconcile with them. And then come and offer thy gift. Then go and worship at church. Go worship in your home with your family. God wants a church and a body that is pure and working towards love, loving each other and loving God. Give with your provisions. So when you invite people, when you invite your pastor into your home, you know, bless them with the food that God has given you. And of course, we've also been discussing this about money. Provide the necessities of life. If our pastors are struggling and somebody finds out, we should all think about how can we be a blessing to them. And I think we've done that in the past. But let's continue being proactive in providing whatever necessities that they are needing. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, and almost the whole passage talks about this subject. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Talking about food and necessities of life. And then Jesus says, Matthew 10:10, don't take your scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat, specifically food. So, as they come to our homes, let's bless them with food. And many of you have done that. And here's the verse that really challenged me. And I don't know, maybe this is a verse that you need to go home and meditate upon. Because it's been very, not sure what happened there. Oop. Okay, sorry about that. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So it's very specific. It's elders that are ruling well, and especially those who are laboring in the word and doctrine. And what does it say? They are worthy of double honor. So what is that word honor? What is that specifically talking about? We know double means double. Okay, very simple. Is it a double helping of food? Is it a double helping of money? You know, what is it? What is he speaking about? And so I encourage you all, go home, study that verse. I'm still meditating on that. But Paul is encouraging the brothers and sisters to take care of their elders and those that are laboring in the Word of God and bring it to them. So now let's go back to support. We had talked about support. And as we bring it to a close here, I want us to think some of the very important things about how we can support and what support is. So I have here a stool, you know, and I'll just put it here. It has four legs. And this morning I've just talked about maybe three. And there's more ways that you can bless your pastors. Okay, I haven't exhausted the list, but I've just given you three. Listen well, encourage well, and give well. And I call it the leg, okay? So as you think about each leg, whatever support that God places on your heart for your pastor and your leaders, what is God calling you to? I read a book by David G. Benner, and it's called Surrender to Love. My wife I'm not sure where she found it, but it has been a very blessing to me. Surrendering to love. And here you can see a picture of a house in Chin State. And we were driving along the road, and when you see a house out here with stilts like that, you're like, man, that would be a risk. You know, I'm thinking Indiana, tornadoes, high winds, you know, what? How would you feel living in a house like that? You know, and I think about each of those beams. The beam by itself is weak, right? If only one beam is supporting the house, it won't be able to do it. But as all of those weak beams together, and we are weak men and women, but as we together help to support, and we know Jesus Christ is the foundation, we can build up our leaders. And I don't know, I noticed also that little ladder going into the house. I walked on a bamboo hut. There was a bamboo hut, and there was like just one pole. I mean, it was like this. And I had to balance to get in there. And so you don't want to lose your balance. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes our pastors or our leaders are walking a difficult path. And they might feel like life is getting shaky. We need to come behind them and support them in those times and encourage them. Don't give up. Keep going. It's worth it. We will be victorious. We will overcome the enemy. And so, as I think about support, what is very, very important? And let's go back to that scripture, and it talks about in love. We cannot support without love. Without love, we cannot. There's nothing we can do. And in this book, Surrendering to Love, he talks about when he took a group of spiritual directors in the Philippines, and he's teaching them. He takes them out on a boat. He takes them out there, and he's going to teach them to float out in the sea. Now, how many of you have learned to float? Okay, there's a few. I'm still very shaky at floating, okay? So when I'm trying to float, maybe in a swimming pool, I'm usually trying to bring my head up and see where I'm at. I don't want to bump my head into the wall of the swimming pool. And I've done that, so I know how it feels. But often my feet go down. And I don't know if that's the problem you guys have, but surrendering to the water is very difficult. I'm afraid of the water. And so he's taking these guys out. They're non-swimmers. They cannot swim. And so he's teaching them. And in 1 hour, they are floating and snorkeling. And he says the key that they learned is surrender. They've learned to surrender to the Lord, to love. And that because of that, they learn how to float very easily. In our physical lives, if we have learned to surrender in our spiritual lives, in our physical lives, it is a lot easier. So maybe that's a measuring point for myself. Have I learned to surrender? Have I learned to surrender? And maybe there's some places in my life that I haven't done very well in surrendering. God has this river of love flowing. Are we going to get out of the boat and float in the love that he's prepared for us? If we learn to float, guess what? That love will support us. The love will support us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. But we got to be immersed. There's only your nose sticking out, okay, to breathe. And it's very hard to get water past your ear. But the love of God is there. Let's get out of the boat and into the love of God so that we can be support to each other and to our pastors and those around us. So, in closing, support, I believe, is surrendering to the love of God. If we feel a lack of support in our lives, and I've been there, it's because I'm not immersing myself in the love of God. And then, only then, can we be a support to others, listening well, encouraging well, and giving well. Okay. God bless you all. I'll turn it over to, Paul. You want to close?